second job, but I had been dropping things all day, like just physically in my body. I just knew that something was really, really wrong, but I couldn't necessarily put a finger on it.
She didn't have major pain or numbness, but still felt odd by the time she made it to her second job that night.
And at that time, I was working in juvenile corrections at the time. So it's very important that I be able to move and do what I need to do. And went to get up out of a chair about 9:36 at night and physically could not. So as I tried to get up, literally everything on the left side of my body, nothing on the left side of my body would move.
The medical team rushed in and initially thought that King was having a stroke. But after spending weeks in the hospital, none of the doctors could figure out what was wrong. King's body showed signs of rheumatoid arthritis, like warm and swollen joints, but none of the blood work showed that she had the condition.
I went through a series of tests over, I would say, about 5 weeks of being in the hospital, still not being able to walk, still not being able to do certain things for myself, just for them to release me with an unknown diagnosis and basically tell me that they didn't know what was wrong with me, that I needed to treat neurologically. It wasn't a stroke. They ruled out, you know, anything major like that. They had me see psych doctors a few times a week, basically thinking that I was crazy because they couldn't figure out what it was. So it had to just be me having some type of weird episode, which of course made me even more upset.
Despite her feelings, King was treated at her local neurological institute. But after a year and a half of tests and treatments, she still couldn't walk or even tie her shoes. She was passed on to various doctors who all tried to diagnose her with one disorder or another every couple of weeks.
They flooded my system with all kinds of meds to where I would end up back at the hospital because they were treating me for things that I wasn't actually diagnosed with. So eventually I was able to connect with my current rheumatologist. He was able to do alternate testing to check via like bone scan and different various blood tests and things like that. And he was able to figure out that I have seronegative rheumatoid arthritis, which means that it doesn't always show up in your blood the way that it is. So you have to take alternate testing to verify those findings. We began to treat very aggressively. And within a matter of like a year and a half, I could physically walk on my own 2 feet.
And though some days are worse than others, King has learned how to best manage her condition. A big part of her journey has been the rheumatoid arthritis community. But just like her diagnosis, King had to fight to find a group who understood the struggle of living with this condition. At the time, the closest Arthritis Foundation chapter was 8 hours away.
Everything was minimal for online at that point because we're talking roughly 12, 13 years ago. So there weren't as many online resources as there are now post-COVID. So as far as physical support group meetings, actual active chapters and offices where I could reach someone from the Arthritis Foundation to discuss anything that I was going through. As it related to healthcare, there were a few rheumatologists here. My rheumatologist is awesome, but even with that, being able to navigate through the healthcare system on the opposite side, figuring out medications and appeals and step therapy and things like that, like there was no local help.
King took it upon herself to make a change and bring the support she needed to her area.
Every race is kind of affected slightly different. So there may be different risk factors that I may be more prone to that someone like yourself may not be.
She's now the co-lead of the National African Americans Connect Group, as well as a support leader in the Western New York area. King says this community is necessary for connecting with others who know what it feels like to live with an invisible illness.
Just knowing that there is a community of people who actually get it, where rheumatoid arthritis is one of those conditions to where I could be fine at this moment, but by the end of the call, like literally all hell could break loose in my body and I could need to go to the hospital. So being able to, if I tell you I'm in pain just as a compassionate person, it relates to you and it resonates to you to where you're like, oh, okay, you know, I feel sorry for you, but to know physically what level of pain I'm in, by being able to have a conversation with someone else from the arthritis community who truly, truly gets it and realizes how fast your body can turn on you is a different level of conversation and a different level of support.
King says there are certain qualities shared by people living with rheumatoid arthritis that make this network of patients a crucial piece of treatment. And though everyone's journey is different, many people under the umbrella of inflammatory arthritis experience similar symptoms that not only affect joints, but the whole body.
People may have conditions related to their heart, their lungs, and other organs. So, for example, in people with rheumatoid arthritis, the risk of cardiovascular events, so heart attacks, is higher than populations without rheumatoid arthritis. So certainly it's a condition that can, you know, affect the whole body, the whole person. People may find that, you know, they have like really profound fatigue when the condition is not well managed. And like other type of chronic conditions, it also affects your mood.
Some patients experience anxiety or depression because of the constant pain and the frustration of finding a treatment that works. The first line of treatment for rheumatoid arthritis is disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drugs. These help to regulate the immune system so that it stops attacking the joints and causing chronic inflammation. But it's not a perfect solution. For many patients, the reality is that these treatments will suddenly stop working, and they'll have to start from scratch to find a new method that works.
Expect the unexpected. So what may work for you perfectly for 1 year, 3 years, 13 years, you could wake up the next day and it feels like it has no effect on your body at all. So that is the biggest thing. So I've been through a series of different treatments. So I've been on everything from pills. I've had a Metaport. I've done infusions. So there's various types of treatments, and just realizing that because your treatment changes doesn't necessarily mean that your condition is getting worse.
It's not uncommon for bodies to adapt to medication, but King says it's still a hard setback to accept.
I promise you, I would take it to her every time it changed. And then every time your medication changed, it typically takes roughly about a month and a half, 2 months for that new medication to become active in your system. So that time frame creates a whole nother set of mental and physical worries because nothing's really changing until it changes. So patience is definitely a virtue and really something that you need to have with having this condition because your body is no longer your own.
And unfortunately, this constant medication switching is many patients' best option. While there's been a growing movement to find more natural solutions to medical issues, Lee says that rheumatoid arthritis is one condition where medication is essential. However, certain activities can be a very powerful supplement when practiced daily.
Non-pharmacological treatments, like being physically active, regular exercise, that helps to strengthen muscles, you know, so that it protects the joints that already being attacked by the inflammatory process, by the arthritis disease itself, is important. Maintaining a good level of flexibility, so range of motion exercise, keeping muscle nice and flexible, those sort of specific tailored exercise, depending on the individual's need, is really important to keep us mobile.
Cardiovascular exercises like walking and swimming are especially important for rheumatoid arthritis patients, since the condition often affects their heart. But Lee says the true key to living with this condition is balance. Know how to manage the 24 hours in your day. Know how much sleep you need and when you should take a break instead of pushing yourself more.
In the beginning, especially being in my early 30s, having a very active life, having a very active, you know, volunteering community life, like, you know, I can beat this thing. Like, I would just push and then put myself in a worse situation. But I've learned to listen to my body, rest as best I can, be very conscious of what I'm eating, whether I'm flaring or not, because a lot of people don't realize the things that you put in your body will result in what you get out of it. So I don't eat completely clean. There are times when I do, but just being more conscious of that, looking into different types of alternate opportunities like yoga, things like that, mindfulness, just different things that I can do in conjunction with my meds to make myself feel better.
On top of listening to your body, Lee says it's crucial to know the ins and outs of your condition.
When we see a health professional, you spend 15, 20 minutes, half an hour max. So they work with you on your medication, your exercise program, and they give you advice. But the individual is still living, you know, that 24-hour day to manage the condition. So having the knowledge, knowing what to do, knowing what is the normal pattern of your symptoms, and what is when the symptom may not be as well controlled, and knowing when to go back to seek help in a timely manner.
As with any health issue, it's important to be your own advocate, which means doing your own research, both online and in person with your physician. King has been grateful for the Arthritis Foundation's various resources, including webinars about rheumatoid arthritis, as well as other health issues it can cause. Arthritis.org is a great resource for anyone struggling with an arthritis diagnosis. This segment was inspired by a listener's comment. If you have ideas for future topics, please leave a comment on our Facebook, Instagram, or X. You can find more information about Dr. Linda Lee, to Lisa King, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, when animals break the law, when Radio Health Journal returns.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
With Halloween quickly approaching, it's time to start thinking about which costume you'll wear this year. Maybe you'll go for the classic panda or black cat, or fully embrace a tiger outfit with striped face paint. Unfortunately, our interactions with real animals isn't always as fun. Even trying to catch a mouse in the kitchen can be frustrating, and our encounters with nature's creatures usually go downhill from there.
We have animals committing manslaughter, home invasion, breaking and entering, trespassing, jaywalking, vandalism. You know, they're just animals being animals, you know, trying to eat, trying to find a place to raise their young, etc. And sometimes they're doing that in our space and we get territorial and we want something to be done about it. And what do you do about it?
That's best-selling author Mary Roach, whose books have looked at the strange side of science. Among them, cadavers, ghosts, digestion, and packing a suitcase from Mars. Her latest is called Fuzz, When Nature Breaks the Law. She says it's all about wildlife crime prevention.
Human-wildlife conflict is the science that I zeroed in on, a science that I had never heard of before, and that is always bait for me. It's a realm of science that I was like, what? I've never heard of that. What's that about? So that's always appealing for me to step into some new world that I didn't know existed. And that is definitely the case here. You know, I didn't realize there were people with titles like Bear Manager and Human Leopard Conflict Specialist.
Serious crimes like murder and manslaughter by wild animals are rare in the United States. Roach says bears kill only a couple of people a year on average. So many bear managers spend a lot of time trying to keep their charges out of dumpsters in mountain resort towns. Snakes and dogs are actually more lethal than bears, averaging about 15 fatal attacks in the U.S. each year. But in other parts of the world, wild animals are a much more serious threat to life and health.
500 people a year killed by elephants. They start to run out of food and they go into people's crops and they raid their crops. And people obviously are upset. They've spent a tremendous amount of time and effort growing these crops. They depend on these crops. So they run out and try to scare the herd. The herd disperses, which makes them very anxious. They like to stay together in their group. So there people get trampled. There's kind of mayhem, people running around, sometimes drunk. That's 36% of people killed by elephants have been drinking, sort of overestimating their ability to deal with an aggressive elephant. So that scenario doesn't end well.
Such fatal wild animal attacks are rare in the United States. That leaves authorities dealing with other lethal threats here, like falling trees. According to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, more than 100 Americans a year are killed by falling trees, or what Roach found are officially called danger trees.
What that means is this is a tree, it's an old tree or damaged tree, and it is looking like it might fall down. It's enough of a threat to people passing by that there needs to be some remediation, you know, to cut off a limb or to take the tree down. And when it's one of those ancient, like those Douglas firs that are hundreds of years old, they die very slowly. But, if you let it go and you don't keep an eye on it, you don't bring in your danger tree assessor, then you could have a situation, and this has happened up in McMillan Grove up in BC, where a storm comes along, the tree falls, in this case, it was a parked car with people in it, and they're killed. So you have to be very vigilant with your danger trees. And at a certain point, something needs to be done to make them safer. And that's when you call in your danger tree faller blaster.
A faller blaster is a lumberjack who sets off explosives to take off the top of a danger tree. Often that's enough to preserve the rest of the tree. But Roach says using explosives to deal with other natural nuisances hasn't always been as successful. For example, growers of sunflower seeds concentrated in the Dakotas have tried blasting the marauding blackbirds who eat their crop.
In the past, there were some pretty ghastly and not effective methods, which was basically kill as many as you can. And that turns out not to have effect even on the population, but certainly not on the amount of damage that you're seeing in that sector of agriculture. So it makes more sense to try to manipulate the environment. And, you know your enemy. Where do they roost? Okay, they like to roost in cattail marshes. So don't plant your crops near the cattail marsh, because that's obviously you're setting yourself up for some problems there. Is there a way to harvest earlier so that your crops aren't coming to readiness just as the birds are showing up? So that's been something the sunflower farmers have tried.
Explosives aren't the only attempted remedy that hasn't gone as planned. Bringing in foreign species to prey on nuisance animals is another one.
On paper, may have made sense, but turns out that these chains of relationships are complicated, and sometimes those aren't thought through all the way. For example, bringing in mongoose to deal with the rats in the sugarcane fields in Hawaii. Well, the rats are nocturnal and the mongoose are dire, and also what happened is the mongoose instead went after some of the native species, and that's been an issue that happened in New Zealand as well. There's three invasive species have just taken off and are now destroying some of the native birds.
Roach's book, Fuzz, is available wherever books are sold. You can find out more about Mary Roach and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired October 2021 and was written and produced by Reed Pence. Our lead producer is Kristen Farah, and our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
The Radio Health Journal podcast gives listeners the latest news on what's trending in health, science, technology, and more.
The fact that we saw remission in 37% of patients at week 3 after just a single administration is something that's really encouraging to us.
Featuring medical experts who break down complex topics in a way that's easy to understand. Radio Health Journal podcast, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
This season, your coffee orders are getting warmer and your outfits are getting cozier. The world keeps changing, and so does COVID-19. That's why this season's COVID-19 shots have been updated. They're one of the best ways to help protect yourself against COVID-19. You can get a COVID-19 shot at the same visit as a flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Talk to your healthcare provider to learn more and schedule at vaccines.gov. And don't forget to get extra cinnamon spice. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic.
Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Medical notes this week. Are you living in a dream world? Studies show that around 40% of working people can recall their dreams the next morning, and new research suggests that this may increase productivity during the day. The work published in the Academy of Management Journal shows a positive link between our dreams and our outlook on the rest of the day. Dreams can elicit feelings of awe, which can make any inconvenience seem insignificant instead of annoying. Music moves the soul, but what about our cells? Scientists are working on technology that can produce and release insulin from inside the body. They use artificial cells that are implanted in a patient, but in order to control when and how much insulin is released, scientists are using music as the trigger. The work, which is published in The Lancet, reveals that rock songs like We Will Rock You work the best when researched in mice. Up to 20% of organ transplant patients will experience at least one episode of rejection. And though our current medications work well, they can destroy the immune system. A new, less toxic drug has been approved for clinical trials following the recent publication of a study in Science Translational Medicine. The lab-made protein acts like an antibody and minimizes the risk of blood clots. When used after a kidney transplant in primates, the drug prevented rejection without harming the patient's immune system. And finally, can your clothes tell you where to go? Researchers have created wearable technology that uses vibration, tapping, and squeezing to communicate. In an experiment published in the journal Device, participants wore a belt that directed them through a mile-long route using these cues. This approach to navigational technology doesn't add to the auditory and visual overstimulation we often experience. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Shel Lustig.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
King Cicilet knows you're dedicated to your barbershop routine. But what about after? What's your routine for facial care to avoid dry skin, itching, and beard rough? Well, the King Cicilet Beard Oil is a perfect fit for making your beard feel as good as it looks. It softens your facial hair and moisturizes to help prevent itch due to dry skin. Get facial hair that feels as good as it looks. Just trim, wash, and soften. With King C. Gillette.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. You need a partner you can count on. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in Virginia, visit CordellCordell.com. 3120 Fairview Park Drive, Suite 750, Falls Church, Virginia, 22042.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP, next to McDonald's.
See dependable, made in the USA appliances at Aquit Appliance and TV, downtown Medford. Appliances by KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, and Amana in stock. Whether it's just one piece or an entire kitchen suite or new laundry, they have something for every budget. Remodeling or building soon? Now is the perfect time to lay away a new appliance package, and they can hold it until your project is ready. Interest-free financing is always available on your new appliance package, and always service after the sale at Aquit Appliance and TV, downtown Medford.
Menards has what you need to finish your home improvement project. Choose from a large variety of fasteners. Whether you need standard nails for general construction or specialty nails for specific applications, you'll find them here. Manufactured in the USA using the highest quality steel. Newfast 3-inch collated framing nails come in a package of 2,000 and are now $47.99 after 11% rebate. Good through August 13th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Highs around 48 today under overcast skies with a chance for scattered showers. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Isolated rain showers likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 31. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 45 tomorrow. Cloudy skies expected. Temperatures below average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the mid-40s to the lower 50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Tuesday. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 48 today. Lows level off around 31 tonight. We should top off around 45 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley. And that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 37.
This week on Viewpoints.
The friend called my parents up and said she's delusional or something's happening. And come get her.
The many impacts of mental illness. Then
the judge gave me the date that I need to go. So that's so hard. Oh my goodness. I was packing like crazy. Packing my clothes, packing my daughter's clothes. Oh, I'm sorry.
One woman's never-ending deportation nightmare. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
For Deborah Kasdan, her older sister Rachel had always been the more creative one, the adventurous, rebellious one, the sibling who was driven and had a natural knack for words. But this upward trajectory abruptly stalled during her sister's mid-20s. Rachel suddenly decided that college wasn't for her and began impulsively traveling. While their parents became worried, Kasdan didn't think much of it at first, passing it off as her sister trying to find herself.
I, being a younger sister, only 3.5 years younger, who looked up to her, I thought my parents were just trying to keep her down, control her, just, you know, the way teenagers think. But when she told me that two men had followed her from New York City to San Francisco, and I could see the fear in her eyes, then I realized there was something wrong, and I understood what my parents were so concerned about.
That's Kasdan recounting the early stages of Rachel's illness, which was later diagnosed to be schizophrenia. Today, it's estimated that about 1% of the population, about 3 million people, suffer from the disorder in the U.S. One prevalent symptom is auditory hallucinations, that is, hearing voices which aren't there. Patients can also experience visual hallucinations, delusions, and often have trouble maintaining a logical conversation. It's also common to feel lethargic and unmotivated. For Rachel, living with schizophrenia meant dealing with waves of these symptoms and decades spent shuffling in and out of psychiatric hospitals, halfway houses, and shelters. It's important to note that this was during the 1960s, and treatment looked much different back then.
When she was in, she got medicated with the medications that were in use, the psychotropics that were in use during the 60s. And tragically, they just seemed to make her worse. They sedated her. She gained a tremendous amount of weight. Eventually, she became diabetic. These are the metabolic changes that these medications caused. And then the idea was that once she was medicated, she could live in the community. So there was this, she wasn't at first considered chronic. I mean, that took some time. But she was discharged to boarding houses in the inner city, where she was sometimes beat up, and she reported rape by one of the, a caretaker there, a resident. So there was a constant conflict between my parents, who didn't want her sent to these places, and the hospital that said my parents were resisting her treatment.
Kasdan notes that serious mental illness doesn't just affect the person, but the family too.
My parents were the primary decision makers and caretakers, but the stress on them was tremendous, as you can imagine. And it was very difficult being with them.
For several years, Kasdan swept these hard feelings under a rug and kept herself busy. She married young, started a family, and began a career as a business and technology writer. At the same time, her sister's condition turned chronic.
Through several decisions the family made, she ended up living far from home. They seemed like the right decisions at the time. In retrospect, probably not. There were many years that I did not see her, but when I did reconnect, it was very difficult when I visited her in a hospital far away. I knew there was nothing I could do to help her. She had already suffered tremendously.
After several years spent in the back wards of state psychiatric hospitals, Rachel, who was now in her 50s, was admitted to an agency's trial work program.
One of the caseworkers went to check on her work and found a poem that she had written. She had apparently written because there was a typewriter there, and she had her name on it, and it was called Water. And it ended up where she just compared her life to being floss on the waves. And this social worker was so struck with it, he gave it to someone who knew more about poetry and who said, yeah, this is something. So when they had a staff meeting, the poet read Rachel's poem to the staff. And as I was told, you could hear a pin drop. They were so stunned at the feelings that came out of this poem. And they accepted her too into the program.
Within this environment, Rachel had support of independent housing, community-based treatment, and in exchange worked as a cleaner or in some other capacity for the agency. She spent her final years here before passing away at age 59. Today, Kasdan advocates for these types of programs and wants people to understand that Rachel was loved by her family even though they struggled to care for her. One big part of their father's life work was creating a system to help patients and families get connected to support.
He always advocated for more research and more attention to the needs of the adult mentally ill and the families, and the help the families needed to support them. Because there's kind of a tension between the individual with the illness wanting to be independent as an adult and able to be independent, and the needs of the parents to protect them.
More than 1 in 5 adult Americans experience a mental illness, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 1 in 25 adults deal with a serious mental illness like major depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. Today, there are countless programs and resources there to help. If you're struggling with mental health or know someone who is, we recommend checking out the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI. The site is NAMI, NAMI.org. If you need help finding a mental health professional, two great resources are the Psychology Today database at psychologytoday.com. The second is ZocDoc.com, another medical database that has reviews and bios. That's ZocDoc.com. To find out more about this topic, mental health resources, and our guest, Deborah Kasdan, head to viewpointsradio.org. Also, check out Kasdan's upcoming book titled Roll Back the World, A Sister's Memoir, that's dropping later this month. This segment was written and produced by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, voting laws in the U.S. are still unnecessarily confusing. We speak with one woman who made this costly mistake when Viewpoints returns.
look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
I was crossing the street when I met the love of my life. I chased after her. Nothing would stand in my way. Not the dog walker, nor the hot dog vendor. Finally reaching her, I asked, "What do you call that amazing smell?"
It's Gain Flings.
Gain Flings. My love had a name, but more importantly, it had a scent.
Fall in love with Gain Flings. Seriously good scent. Gain Flings with 50% more freshness ingredients versus leading bargain detergent.
Hi, I'm Martha Stewart, and I have a question for you. You know that unwelcome guest everyone wishes would just leave already? That's COVID-19. That's why I got a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants. Got it?
Learn more and schedule this season's updated COVID-19 shot at vaccines.gov.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone.
So what if I need a new one?
No problem. We have the right battery for your car, starting at only $89.99.
Get in zone. And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Imagine moving to the U.S. from a foreign country in your late 20s. You only know a small handful of people, the language is largely unfamiliar, and your surroundings are completely new. That's how Elizabeth Keithley felt when she moved from the Philippines to Chicago in 2004. She immigrated to the U.S. on a K-3 temporary visa in order to join her American husband, John Keithley. After spending a couple years in the U.S., Keithley went to the DMV in Bloomington, Illinois to get a state ID. While waiting in line, she was asked by an employee if she would like to register to vote. And that's when all of the trouble began.
He asked me to sign the paper. And then I didn't know that that paper that I signed is I am a citizen.
That's Elizabeth Keithley describing what happened that day in 2006 when she unintentionally registered to vote. According to the National Voter Registration Act, DMV employees are required to ask people applying for a license or government ID if they'd like to register to vote. The act is also better known as the Motor Voter Law and was signed into law by President Bill Clinton in 1993 and took hold in 1995. Its creation intended to make registering to vote more available and straightforward for millions of Americans. Despite this, however, DMV employees are not allowed to ask about an applicant's citizenship status because under federal law, the question is seen as discriminatory. So when asked if she wanted to register, Keithley, largely unfamiliar with the process and confused about her own rights, went ahead and signed where she was instructed. Within weeks, her registration came in the mail, and she was able to vote in the 2006 congressional election. But this action came back to haunt her when she had her final immigration interview later that year and was denied a green card.
The Keithleys came to see me after they had gone and navigated the process on their own mainly. They did have someone, an attorney, I think, preparing some of the documents before, but pretty much navigating it on their own, going to a green card interview after she had arrived in this country on a temporary marriage visa, and basically being laughed at for having voted.
That's Richard Haynes, an immigration lawyer in Chicago who's practiced for nearly three decades. Unfortunately, Haynes says that Keithley's not the only one. He's helped hundreds of people in the same situation. He says that the motor voter law at the DMV was put in place to make voting more accessible, but has instead made life harder for new immigrants still grasping our laws and language.
It's second nature to most Americans. You have to be a citizen to vote. It's not always second nature to the foreign national. Wait, I'm married to a citizen, so I must be a citizen, or I must be eligible, or why are they inviting me to vote? Or, hey, they sent me a voter card. After I sign that, I must be I'm eligible. So the foreign national may not have a sense that there isn't the vetting process that they thought there might be. And then they think, well, if I'm not eligible, the registration will be rejected.
But that's not the case. From a foreigner's perspective, it's hard to understand how an act that they were asked to participate in and given little guidance on can so quickly lead them to deportation.
We have a person like Elizabeth Keithley who ended up showing her Filipino passport, being invited to register, thinking, why would they register me, invite me if I was ineligible, seeing I'm a Filipino citizen, then getting a voter card, thinking, well, they wouldn't have sent this to me had I not been eligible, and then voting, and then ultimately going for an interview and being turned down.
When Keithley lost her first appeal in immigration court in Chicago in 2007, she lost her job at a nearby hospital, her medical insurance, and was faced with the very real possibility of being deported back to the Philippines.
The judge gave me the date that I need to go. So that's so hard. Oh my goodness. I was packing like crazy, packing my clothes, packing my daughter's clothes. Oh, I'm sorry. I can remember. It's so crazy.
It was an emotional time for the Keithleys. In 2007, the couple had just welcomed their first child together, but had decided that if Elizabeth was forced out of the country, the whole family, including John's daughter from a previous marriage, would start over in the Philippines. At that point, Haynes decided to take on the rest of the case pro bono and put in another appeal to the courts. But it wasn't an easy fight by any means. The case went on for 5 long years. In 2012, Haynes appealed the case again, but this time used a different approach based off an already accepted legal principle.
There is a defense in criminal law that says if you are invited to engage in an act, that it's at the guidance or invitation of a government official, and you relied on that invitation or guidance, you can't later be penalized for acting in accordance with that guidance.
With this argument in mind, a Department of Justice immigration judge finally granted her appeal, accepting Keithley's testimony that stated that she was rushed through the voter application process by an employee at the DMV and had inadvertently registered to vote with no malicious intent. Keithley says that moment felt like a huge weight had been lifted off her back.
I was so happy and thankful every day, and I'm so thankful to Mr. Henos for doing this for us. Because of him, for fighting for us, I don't know. I was going to be in the Philippines right now.
While Keithley was exonerated, others in similar situations aren't as lucky. Haynes points to another case where he represented a woman from Peru who was here for a few years on a green card and was also misguided at the DMV.
And another case was an awful result that got, actually, I sought Supreme Court review of it, and it was not accepted, but I was this woman's third lawyer after she had been represented by two other lawyers at the lower courts. She showed up at the DMV. She already had her green card, but she showed her Peruvian passport green card and was asked, would you like to register? She asked, am I supposed to? And then the person said, it's up to you. So she checks the box saying she's a citizen, thinking that's the closest thing to being a resident, and then gets a voter card, votes, applies for citizenship, and then faces denial.
So what can be done to prevent this from happening again? Haynes says that the lack of clarity in the current voter registration process needs to be fixed. This means changing the clause in the motor voter law, which doesn't allow government employees to ask people if they are citizens before they register to vote.
I think our country has such a sordid past with how we've discriminated inappropriately, of course, against people because of their race or their gender. We're limiting people's ability to register or to vote. And we've gone the other way of making it very liberal. And in regards to with the way our deportation laws are, they're so extreme that something has to change. And if the immigration laws aren't changing to make less of a penalty for accidental registrants or voters, something has to change with at least having more safeguards on the process to make sure that only citizens are registered.
Haines says it would help to have additional safeguards, like requiring physical proof of citizenship before registering a person to vote. The DMV can already be a confusing and frenzied process to begin with, so it's necessary that employees take the time to make sure each person fully understands what they're getting into. Because once someone signs on the dotted line, the consequences can be criminal.
How are the Keithleys or anybody else who are otherwise law-abiding, good people, getting whacked with the same consequences as, say, a drug dealer or a murderer might face in terms of deportation? They didn't go out of their way to register or to vote. It's the process that kind of went out of its way to find them. And for them to face a penalty because of that, it was just an extraordinary injustice. And that's our job as lawyers, to sort of spot issues that might, you know, this is the kind of thing that, hey, Congress didn't take into account. And maybe this wasn't the intent. Or here's a clash of two, say, well-intended laws.
This year, the federal motor voter law just turned 30. However, Keithley still hopes that by sharing her story, it will help others avoid this big mistake.
I feel so blessed. I feel so happy that I am able to share my story to everybody, because I know that there's a lot of people saying what I've been through.
To learn more about the motor voter law and Elizabeth Keithley's story, log on to our site at viewpointsradio.org. To get more behind the scenes and support our show, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri, and originally aired in February 2020. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. We're well into October, and before you know it, Halloween will be here. The annual spooky holiday means an excuse to dress up in silly costumes, eat lots of candy, and go to town decking out your space. For many retailers, this period is also the unofficial kickoff to a busy holiday shopping season. In fact, experts predict that spending this year will hit a record $12.2 billion. That's according to the National Retail Federation. That's a 26% jump from 2019. Looking back over the last two decades, and Halloween has steadily grown in popularity, and that's led to more sales. But why are people shelling out a lot of money than usual? Well, part of it is that everything from decor to food is costing more. Take a look at candy, for example. Compare August 2022 to this past August, and prices for candy and chewing gum rose by almost 10%, according to the Consumer Price Index. Even between 2021 and 2022, there was a big hike in candy costs. Many of the most popular offerings like Reese's, Twix, Snickers, and Skittles are all pricier. At Target right now, a 260-piece variety bag of Hershey's Minis
will set you back about $30. One cause is that sugar is in high demand and low supply. Extreme weather has led to lower sugarcane yields in Thailand, India, and China, some of the biggest producers of the crop. Analysts predict the shortage will run through at least the end of the year. Whether you're 14 or 40, might not be a bad idea to stock up on some sugar and head out trick-or-treating this Halloween. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. There's an anecdote from a 2015 Hollywood Reporter profile on Lorne Michaels, the famed producer of Saturday Night Live, that has stuck with me. Michaels has been the man in charge of SNL since its inception back in 1975, which means he's overseen the iconic series through generations of new writers and performers. And he's heard time and again that his show just ain't what it used to be. Michaels has seen this cycle often enough and in regards to so many different casts that he's reached a simple conclusion. Everyone says the show peaked when they were in high school. One high school senior's favorite cast is a disappointment to a bunch of 20-somethings. This is a tale as old as time. Older generations lament younger generations' taste in everything. Famously, this is true of music. Older generations despised the music of Elvis, then the Rolling Stones, and now, I guess, Kanye West. We like what we liked in high school. And I can add to the phenomenon, my favorite movie is Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. I've often said nothing will ever top the experience I had of going to the theater at midnight when I was 15 years old, tagging along with my brother and watching the comic book crime epic unfold. And it turns out I'm probably right. It's not necessarily because it's the best movie of all time, but it mattered to me the most when my receptors were at their height. I appreciate new books and new music, and I flock to see new movies. I often love them. Maybe I'll even watch some Saturday Night Live highlights, but for me, all of those things peaked in the late 2000s. For you, they probably peaked when you were 15. And of course, this is all fine. But let's get along about it. People can like different things, and we should probably try to keep that in mind and cut younger generations some slack when they say that a new movie or a new song is the best ever. It's just human nature. I'm Evan Rook.
Yep, I'm looking at the pages right now.
Thomas's translation company just lost its only two Spanish speakers. Tomorrow. Without the right replacements, he'll be in problemas.
Yeah, we'll have those ready. Tonight's gonna be a late one.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This week at Macy's, find your signature fall look with big savings on incredible specials. Like 30 to 50% off cool weather coats for him and her. 40 to 60% off designer suits and blazers he can dress up or down. And 30 to 40% off the season's must-have boots and shoes during the Great Shoe Sale. Or use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 20% off more great deals at Macy's. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
And listen, this is a public service announcement with Dakari Chapman. Why should you know your constitution and why should you know your rights as a U.S. citizen? How would you like it if someone didn't allow your club to meet at your house? I wouldn't, because that's not cool. How would you like to be tried without a jury? I wouldn't, because that's not cool. These things are not cool. Learn your rights as a U.S. citizen so you know what to do in these situations. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's an American thing, so learn it.
Liberty. It's an American thing. From AmericanThing.org.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Join us Friday, October 13th for all the fun and excitement of high school football. This week, join us at 7 p.m. on air at 98.3, online at 92country.com, or on the Civic Media mobile app for Washburn hosting Phillips, announced by Jeff Hakenin and Scott Heckman. And also at 7 p.m., join us on 103.1 for the Schwarming and Butternut Mercer co-op team, hosting Northwoods and Solon Spring, announced by Steve Jetland. High school football, brought to you by 98Q Country, local Civic Media radio station.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a Civic Media station.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. HuntworthGear.com. And by Ducks Unlimited, a proud sponsor of our show and of duck hunters everywhere. Ducks.org. We're also brought to you by the Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association. 60 square miles of fun on the water. CastleRock-Peatonwell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, WoodsideRanch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get a fall color and activity report from Florence County, Wisconsin. Get some battery maintenance advice from Mike Miller of Remy Battery. And hear how Wounded Warriors United of Wisconsin plans to use their new Can-Am Defender to help veterans get outdoors. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham are open for business. Well, joining us this week from Pierre, South Dakota, Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, what's going on out there?
Yeah, out here in Pierre for the Bass Pro Shops Cabela's Masters Walleye Circuit World Walleye Championship. We've got 25 teams in the championship fishing for a share of $115,000 in cash and prizes.
Fantastic. Well, we will get a full report on that next week's show. But last weekend, you were up on the Turtle Flambeau Flowage with your son Robert for your annual camping trip. How did that go?
Oh, it was fun, Dan. We did have to deal with some thunderstorms both nights that we slept there. You know, that's a different experience with a young kid in a tent, thunderstorms, but we felt that we were still in a safe position. We actually camped in a different campsite on a different island than we typically do, and the only bummer about this one was that it was well shaded. We were well within the canopy, but because we got rain both nights and we didn't have a lot of sunshine during the day, everything kind of just stayed damp, stayed wet. We didn't get a chance to dry out too much, but you know, fishing was still good. We caught rock bass and walleye and perch and crappies. We ended up having ourselves a shore lunch one day. We wandered around the island, did a little red squirrel population control, and we had a good time with all of it. Each year we make some neat memories, and as he gets older, you know, he's able to kind of help around the camp a little bit more and wants a little bit more independence. At one point, you know, he kind of stayed back at camp and was just kind of hanging out while I went out and fished, and we were talking to each other on the two-way radios, and it was fun. It was a good time.
Fantastic. Well, you're turning him into quite the outdoorsman, and I think he's loving it.
Oh, he is. He's loving the independence. At one point, I was coming back for dinner, and he goes, "Dad, I'll have the fire going when you get here." And he did. He had everything all set. And, he was doing a great job with it.
Fantastic. Well, this is Youth Deer Hunt Weekend. Are you going to be back in time for any hunting?
Oh, I don't know. It's gonna be close. Maybe for a day. We really didn't prepare for it this year like we had last year, just because we knew the time frame was not going to work out. But with him working with the pellet gun and with the rifle and even firing the .22 quite a bit in the last number of weeks, he'd probably feel comfortable behind a gun. But we just haven't really prepared ourselves. So I think we'll maybe get some bow hunting in or crossbow hunting in the coming weeks. But we'll worry about the rifle once we get to rifle season in November.
All right, sounds good. Well, last weekend, John and I were at the 8th Annual Treelands Muskie Fly Fishing Championships, and despite the full moon and major activity periods during tournament hours, it was a slow bite both days. 100 anglers registered just 40 muskies. John